couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I briefly mentioned this this verse and spoke a little bit about it, and would like to speak on it just a little bit more in detail for just a few minutes. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. You already, in your experience among worshiping with the Lord's people, have come to realize many aspects of the truth that's mentioned right here. And he says that there is a value of the truth. And you can look at different individuals and you can see what the value is of the truth. Well, what is the value? What does it cost? What is the value of the truth? For some folks, it may be high. For others, it may be low. But he says we're basically supposed to buy the truth no matter what the cost. And he says, and sell it not. So it's something that you embrace. It's something that you grab. It's something that you hold on to no matter what the cost. And you sell it not. There's not a price for you to sell it. But you hold on to it. Shared this experience and it was a blessing to me, and I hope it will be to you as well. Had the privilege of attending services at the Palm Bethel Church recently, and I'd been there with Brother Mark and Brother Polk, and just had a wonderful meeting years ago when Elder Bryce Lawrence was the pastor, and enjoyed going back and being with the folks there, and it was just a real blessing. At the dinner table, I had the privilege of sitting beside an elderly sister. And this elderly sister, we began to have conversation, and in the course of the conversation, I told her, I said, this morning I was scanning the radio dial, and in scanning the dial, I came across an advertisement on the Christian radio station. I was listening to the Christian station, and all of a sudden I heard an advertisement on there for the Baptist Bible Hour. Now, that's exciting when you're 1,500 miles away from home and you hear an announcement, the song of number 5, "Oh, for 1,000 Tongues to Sing," and you hear that and all of a sudden you think, am I hearing this right? And so I looked at the dial and I wrote down the number, and then they went on to say, stay tuned because at 10 o'clock you're going to be able to hear Elder Sarah Bradley with the Baptist Bible Hour. This was 7 o'clock in the morning. And so I made a point to make sure that I had the radio station down, and at 10 o'clock I wanted to be in a position that the car would receive the Baptist Bible Hour. And I was so excited about that. And then went to the little church and little white building and began to meet the folks after I'd heard Elder Bradley preach. And so my day had already started off real good, getting to hear a great message that Elder Bradley preached on bitterness. I didn't know how much I needed a message on bitterness until I heard it 1,500 miles away with Elder Bradley preaching. Great message, great sermon. It was a wonderful blessing for me to have. So I sit down beside this lady, and she began to talk, and I told her, I said, I was so blessed. I don't know who supports it, I don't know who promotes it, but I was so blessed to hear Elder Bradley this morning on the radio station. She said, well, let me tell you our experience about that. She's probably close to 90 years old. She said, my husband and I lived in upstate Massachusetts. Now they're in southern Florida. Well, he's dead now. He's with the Lord. But she's down there. Said, we lived in upstate Massachusetts. Said, we'd never even heard of Primitive Baptist at all. And she said, one night, about 10:30 at night, my husband was scanning the dial, and all of a sudden he heard the preacher say, stay tuned for a message of God's sovereign grace. And she said, you know, that's what we believed. But we had searched and searched and searched, and we couldn't find anybody that believed the message of God's sovereign grace. She said, my husband got so excited, he listened to the message, and he said, the preacher preached the message of God's sovereign grace from start to finish. And she said, my husband was so excited to hear a message about God's sovereign grace. It said, stay tuned next week for another message of God's sovereign grace. She said, my husband grabbed his pen. He couldn't find a piece of paper to write the call letters of the station on and the time that it was to be announced. So he went over to the door facing on the wall and he wrote it on the door facing because he was so excited he didn't want to miss another message of God's sovereign grace.
Amen.
And then he said to his wife, I really doubt that preacher can preach that 2 weeks in a row. But the next week, he preached it. And the week after that, he preached it. And she said it was from a radio station in Cincinnati, Ohio, that we picked up in Massachusetts at 10:30 on Sunday night. She said, my husband and I had 7 children. And she said, we got so excited about the message of God's sovereign grace and that we'd found somebody else that seemed like they believed it, that she said, my husband and I loaded our car up with our 7 kids and we took off to Cincinnati. We wanted to meet these people that preached and believed what we had embraced. She said, we got so excited in the church at Cincinnati to be able to sit under the preaching of the gospel that sovereign grace was preached in the beginning and the end and all throughout. She said, we got so excited that she said, my husband said, let's go back home and let's put a for sale sign in front of the house. And she said, we drove home with our 7 kids to Massachusetts. And she said, we went and bought a for sale sign and put it in the front yard. And said, we're moving to an area that we can hear the gospel of grace proclaimed. And she said, God blessed us to sell our house. And she said, we packed up our 7 kids. And we drove across to Cincinnati, Ohio. And we spent our life there raising our kids among the steady preaching of the grace of Jesus Christ. By the truth, that was the cost they were willing to pay. She said, now look at some of the benefits. She said, you see those folks over there? That's my daughter and her husband. You see these kids over here? These are my grandkids. She said, God's blessed me with a family that values the truth, and I've been able to worship with them throughout my life and witness the blessing that it is to them. Buy the truth and sell it not. What's the cost of truth? What is the value of truth? To Judas, it wasn't very much. 30 pieces of silver. Did you know that our commitment and our dedication and our willingness to be committed to the truth of Jesus Christ, it tells clearly by our commitment. Is it a priority in our life? We're told that the church is the pillar. What's a pillar? Where's Luke? You know what a pillar is? There's 2 of them right here. One's by Tyler over here. One's by Brother Kirk. These are pillars that are holding up the walls. And we're taught that there's a value in the church, that the church is the pillar, not pillow.
Right. Amen.
But the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. So there's bound to be some connection between the church and the truth. And you ought to be able to go to the church and hear the truth proclaimed.
Amen.
Now, folks will tell you that it really doesn't matter out in the world in which we live. Don't you really understand that in the year 2016, that truth really doesn't matter? Truth doesn't matter in religion. Truth doesn't matter in government. You think it does? How in the world do people get elected that there's no basis for truth? Really? I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever it is, truth ought to carry some weight. And it ought to carry some weight in the Church of Jesus Christ. Say, well, it doesn't matter what I believe, it's how I feel. I don't know about you, but your feelings, my feelings can deceive me.
Yeah.
Your feelings ever deceive you? About 4 o'clock in the morning, my feelings always deceive me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel like it. You don't base it on feeling. But you base it on truth. You base it on truth and the feeling will come.
Amen.
It will. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. What's the value of the truth? I'll confess to you, I'd just assume you not put this on the internet, Brother Tom, but I visited an old Baptist church at one point that I had visited years before, and the time before that I was there, I have to tell you, I just didn't get a whole lot out of singing. I didn't get a whole lot out of the preaching. I wasn't the one that was doing it. But I probably still wouldn't have got anything out of it. Probably gotten less out of it. And I went back to visit years later that particular church. And I almost thought, you know, you could go to another church. I'm sure you'll get something out of it. And then I thought, one thing I know is that if the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, that's really where I ought to be. And I want to give you a secret. Before I went the second time, I began to pray for the preacher. I could begin to pray for those that were seen. And you know what? I began to pray for myself. And I want you to know I went to that little church. And I'm telling you, I was blessed from start to finish. Is the same preacher, is the same singers, is the same me. But the Lord had tendered my heart differently. You don't get just a whole boatload of blessings out of it. I understand when I'm preaching. I don't understand when Ace is preaching, but I understand when I am. But I tell you what, you go home and you pray about it. And by the way, don't just pray that you're going to get a blessing. Pray that God will bless you to be a blessing. If you go with the attitude and the mindset that I'm going there and I'm going to be a blessing, God will bless you to leave with a blessing as well. Matthew chapter 13, here's two examples. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, that when a man had found it, that he hideth, and for the joy thereof he selleth all that he hath, and he buys the field. Now that's pretty neat. Look at what he says right here. He says the treasure is hidden in the field. The treasure is in the field. Doesn't say how much that field cost. Doesn't say how much it is. But he says that this man, when he found out where the field was, when he found out where the treasure was in that particular field, this man was willing to sell all that he had to go and buy the whole field. You know what? In fields, I've never seen a field that there's not a few tares. Have you? He was willing to buy the whole field, tares and all. We ought to be willing to do the same. He says that he was willing to sell it all. When he had found the treasure that was hid in the field, he goeth and he selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth that field. And he says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman with goodly pearls, who when he had found that one pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had and he bought it. My pastor, Elder Afton Richards, who's now with the Lord, he used to say, he said, you don't have to give up anything. You don't have to sell anything at all that you needed to keep. But there's some things that you need to sell that you don't need to keep. And he says you ought to be willing to sell it all to have that treasure, to have that pearl. You ought to be willing to buy the entire field in order to have it. By the way, that little church that I was mentioning to you, it's not in the state of Maryland. It's in the south. So just in case you're wondering where that was, way down south. But I tell you what, the last time I was there, the Lord was there. And He was probably there before that time. I just wasn't in the right spirit. Jesus Christ says that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ says that if you know the truth is going to make you free. Jesus Christ instructs us, and the Apostle Paul in his writing, that we're to speak the truth. What a great blessing. What an opportunity we have to speak the truth. But he gives us some requirements. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says we are to speak the truth. And we're to do it in love. You don't just go around and say, I'm an old hard shell, old time primitive Baptist, and you better see it my way or else. That's not the right way to do it. But you speak the truth in love. Wonder how many folks we've turned off because of the approach that we took. Maybe I'm the only one that's guilty of that. I had a little 3-minute conversation with Brother Asa this morning, and he was, with excitement in his voice, he was telling me about how that yesterday afternoon they stayed longer in New York, and they met folks and they visited with them. They went to a marriage seminar, and then they had the opportunity to share with others the truth about Jesus Christ and about His doctrine and about His church. And Brother Asa was so excited to tell about the truth of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That's the attitude, and that's the way that we should share the truth of Jesus Christ. Not try to hammer it over folks' head. Not try to run them away or turn them off. Or prove that we're right and you're wrong. No. If any of us see the truth of Jesus Christ, it's by His grace. It's not because we're so good or we're so smart or that we deserve it. But it's because of His grace and His mercy that He sheds upon us. I like James chapter 5. It talks about that if any err from the truth, that we're to encourage and that it saves a brother. It saves a brother from the weariness of wandering away from the truth. And that knowing the truth is a blessing. For example, in Acts chapter 18, where Apollos, it says that he began to err just a little bit. Apollos began to get off course just a little bit. And there was an old brother and sister. Maybe they weren't quite so old, but they'd been around a while, and they were established in the truth. And they heard Apollos, and they realized that he was a little bit off base. And they didn't say, "We're declaring non-fellowship with you." They didn't. "You're out of order." You know what they did? I'm paraphrasing this. This fits in line with Brother Steve's sermon the other day. Excellent message about the inspired word. Aquila and Priscilla went over and they kind of put their arm around Apollos and they said, "Apollos, here's some things we see that you kind of a little bit off base on." And it says, "They instructed him in the way of the Lord more perfectly." I appreciate their sweet, gentle spirit in instructing Apollos in the right way. And he received it. He did. Buy the truth and sell it not. There's a song that we used to sing in West Texas. I was trying to find it on my phone this morning. I wasn't sending text messages and I wasn't answering calls. I was trying to find the song and I couldn't get it to pull up, but I wanted to read it to you. We read it on Wednesday night and it was a blessing about the value of truth and how that we're to buy the truth that no matter what the cost in our life. And we embrace it and we carry it with us and we hold it dear throughout our whole life. And we don't sell it. Now, certainly Jesus Christ is truth. Certainly there's truth in the order of service in which we worship the Lord. Am I saying that the Lord is not in other places? Absolutely not. I believe that He is, and I believe He manifests Himself. But I believe there's a very basic and simple format that is established for us in the New Testament in our order of service, and there is a liberty in that. There is a freedom in that. The truth sets you free. There's a freedom in having a simple service that just points and gives God all the glory, 100% of it. There's a freedom in knowing that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, period. I've got a handful of friends in the South that grew up under the steady preaching and teaching of the sovereignty of God. And maybe they married into a different belief. Maybe they moved to a different area and started worshiping in different areas. And I've wondered in my mind, how could their souls be blessed under hearing something less than the truth? Does it not cause an anxiety? Does it not stir their heart? I want to be like that old sister and her family, that the cost of the truth to them was to put a for sale sign up in Massachusetts and head all the way to Ohio and move their family to set under the steady preaching of the truth of Jesus Christ. Buy the truth and sell it not. Certainly a large aspect of the truth of Jesus Christ, we haven't even touched on it, but it's the precious doctrine of Jesus Christ. That we are depraved and guilty and bankrupt completely. Had the privilege yesterday morning of talking to a brother from India, Brother Davidson, that attends the New York service. And he was talking about in India where he'd come from that there's different levels and different status. And down here you're depraved. Up here you've, by your works, achieved a great position. And you try to get from here to here. And he said, when the reality came to me that all of us were right down here, he said, then I understood grace. When you understand grace,
There's nothing that'll suit your case better than a message of God's sovereign grace. I can remember the very restaurant I was sitting in when my pastor turned the Bible around and explained Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 4. And I can remember when all of a sudden the light came on and I began to see that it's not according to my works, but it's according to His own purpose and grace. And I'll tell you, that's blessed my soul for 40 plus years. And I think we're instructed to buy the truth. What's the cost of it? Certainly baptism. Certainly living with your brothers and sisters in Christ. But what a blessing that is. To have a place that you can hear the steady preaching of the truth of Jesus Christ. Buy the truth and sell it not. May God bless you.